Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, I mean, National Police Association, you do so much to support law enforcement at the local, state, national level, obviously. But can you take us through what you see happening here?
Well, what we see as I sit 80 miles from the southern border in Arizona is we're seeing, first of all, even our own governor here, Katie Hobbs in Arizona, is sending the National Guard down to help the border efforts. But we're seeing the cartels are so incensed by what's happening. And by the way, border crossings are down 95%. In 2.5 weeks, 95%. But the cartels are now threatening not just ICE, but anyone working on at the border. And in most of the border states, that's not just federal law enforcement, but it is also state and local. So there's been a directive from the federal government for anybody working law enforcement down at the southern border and the northern border as well, but especially the southern border, to be watchful of drones and, you know, armed personnel that may be menacing our law enforcement personnel at the southern border, because the Trump administration doesn't just want to remove these criminal illegal aliens. They also want to stop the flow of fentanyl. And that's, I think that got lost in all this tariff talk. That was, you know, that was the reason for those tariffs. But from a broader perspective, one of the things we're seeing, you know, the military is already seeing record recruitment numbers, you know, since November. And we are starting to see law enforcement experience the same thing, where agencies that couldn't hardly get anybody to show up to tests, they're seeing a little bit of an easier time in recruiting law enforcement. Now, of course, that's regional, but you know, we're hopeful that the pendulum is starting to swing the other way.
Yeah, because it's, and I know also on the, as far as the cartel, and to your point about fentanyl and xylazine and all these different pills, I know that they're trying to do legislative reforms and lead that and fund that to target the equipment that's used, right? So they're trying to get every aspect of this. But for, you know, with regard, Betsy, to the Tren de Aragua presence, these gangs, these organized groups, and that's the scary thing. I had talked to a lot of different local police chiefs in the burbs with even the burglaries and tracing them. I mean, they really move around the country. I think that's a piece of this. We see them, and they're going from the East Coast to the West Coast, it seems, quite easily, and they're very organized. How do we crack down on these different gangs or organized cartel groups?
Well, the Trump administration has declared them national terrorist organizations, so, or international terrorist organizations. So that gives law enforcement some additional tools that they can use. One of the other things we're saying, especially when we're talking about Tren de Aragua and these other what we call tourist burglary gangs, you know, one of the reasons they were able to move around the country freely were from these NGOs, non-governmental agencies were doing charitable flights for them. They were able to just put in for a flight to, this is how Lakin Riley's murderer was able to get from New York to Georgia, where he murdered her, for free. Now, that's all ending. And so now they're going to have to spend their own money. They're going to have to risk being, you know, going through the regular TSA system because they didn't have to do that before when they were illegal. Now they're going to have regular identification, things like that. So they're not going to be able to move around as easily. We're also seeing some self-deportation, even of criminals, because now that many of them are, you know, we've already had our first couple plane loads go to Gitmo. They're not just going home. They're going to Gitmo. And when it comes to, again, Tren de Aragua, they don't want to go back to Venezuela, because Maduro has said now he's going to take them into custody, and that he will, and that's already happening. So a lot of change for these gangs that were just moving around the country unfettered. But we have Tren de Aragua in 17 different states where they have a bit of a foothold, some states more than others. But ICE is working really hard to get them all out.
Yeah, and that brings me to, as far as ICE goes, and I had interviewed, Dan had set up the ICE director here locally in this region, but what does that mean for somebody who's a Philadelphia cop and putting you, does it put police in the crosshairs when you have, at one point, you have the federal level, you have DOJ, you have the executive branch, and they're saying one thing, but then they actually, local cops obviously would work for, let's say in Philadelphia, or you work in Abington, or you work in Lower Marion, you work in the suburbs, and you actually work for your local entity. And so does this create a situation where police at the local level, are they in a tough spot?
Well, I'm really glad you brought that up, because you're hearing all these mayors and chiefs and sheriffs saying, we're not going to cooperate with ICE. Our cops aren't going to cooperate. ICE doesn't particularly need local law enforcement street level to assist them unless they are asking for some additional tactical assistance. So it's not like ICE is going to, call up a local suburban police officer and go, hey, here's 5 Tren de Aragua warrants. We want you to take these guys into custody. That's not how it works. When ICE is going to say, to a residence where they've got a warrant for 2 people inside, they might ask local law enforcement to work a perimeter or cover the back door, a regular tactical assistance that local law enforcement would provide to any of our federal partners. But what I want people to really understand is when these, especially when sheriffs, county officials are saying, we're not going to cooperate with ICE. In other words, even if we have an ICE detainer for someone that we've arrested for a separate crime, we're going to let them out and onto the streets rather than turn them over to federal officials, which is what the law tells them to do. What they're doing is they are endangering their own law enforcement, the local law enforcement around them, and they're endangering the public, because when they don't turn that bad guy over to ICE, which is the legal thing to do, they put him out on the streets and then ICE has to go find them. And that's very often a dangerous proposition, especially we even have radio stations now owned by George Soros that are warning people what ICE, where they're at, what kind of vehicles they're driving, this and that. So, your local law enforcement is not being asked to go serve these deportation orders and things. They're simply asking to help the community be safe while ICE does their job.
With regard to that, though, it's hard I will say for me, I look at like Chester County or Montgomery County, especially here in Philadelphia, the police are not allowed to put on their stats whether somebody's a citizen or non-citizen. And so do you see that changing? Because I do wonder, because we don't have the stats on it because they're not allowed to put it on there. So how do you keep stats on some of this? Do you know what I'm saying? If they're not allowed to.
Oh, yeah. Arizona was the epicenter of that years and years ago with SB 1070, where it became a national issue. Could we or could we not ask your immigration status? And generally speaking, most police agencies in the country can no longer ask anyone's immigration status. So it is a problem. I think that'll begin to change as we get a handle on getting these illegal alien, high level criminals out of this country. But the problem with that, Dawn, is there are so many states that give non-citizens driver's licenses or state-issued identification cards. We've created this mess. That's why in a lot of jurisdictions, illegals have been able to vote in elections, and that's against the law. unless, you know, it's a particular city. You know, there's some cities, Los Angeles, New York, where illegals can vote in the elections. It's going to take quite a while, I think, to unravel that. Mm-hmm. But if anybody can do it, Donald Trump can do it.
My final question to you, and this is one, and I'll just say, was that a week or two ago? And we interviewed a Pennsylvania J6 mom, one who was not convicted or charged with doing anything violent to anybody, but had broken a window. And our group here, I mean, we are pro-law enforcement, right? And for crying out loud, my son is at Penn State for one of my sons. My oldest son is at Penn State right now for criminal justice and wants to go into law enforcement. And so the pushback that I got, Betsy, from people saying, well, you know, in general, many of these J6ers, they did hurt police or they did do such a... And there was this debate that we had with, and I think a lot of people feel conflicted over that, right? Because on one hand, you have people, the majority did nothing violent. But as far as those who did something against police officers, there's this feeling of, wait a minute. And so I really experienced that on one show that we did in real time. And now we have this group of, I know, 9 FBI agents. They filed a lawsuit. They want to block their, you know, public ID of FBI employees who worked on the J6 case. So obviously you're probably, I would imagine, dealing with this on both sides because you help defend a lot of, you know, law enforcement officers who find themselves, like here in Philadelphia, being, you know, with weaponized government, let's say with Krasner against law enforcement. But how do you navigate through this? Because I can see both sides of this coin.
Yeah, go to my X feed and look at all the vitriol, and that'll answer your question. Listen, I'm at odds about that with some of my friends. But here's my answer. First of all, I want to address those FBI agents that are suing. That's one of the first things Pam Bondi's going to have to deal with. Mm-hmm. If you have to sue because you don't want to have to answer a questionnaire about what you were doing on your job on January 6th, that's a problem. You know, for all the people who love to talk about police reform and transparency and this and that, why do these FBI agents get to hide what they were doing on January 6th? That's one issue. The second issue about the blanket January 6th pardons, yes, some police officers got hurt. No police officers died, but nobody seems to give a damn, Dawn, about the 2,000 other police officers mm-hmm. that were hurt, and a couple were killed, and a number were paralyzed and blinded during the George Floyd riots of 2020 and 2021, and then the police officers injured during the pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas riots of last year. And most of those were not prosecuted. The January 6th prosecutions, generally speaking, were completely over the top. Mm-hmm. And that's why these blanket pardons had to happen. Those people, generally speaking, were over prosecuted. And so Trump just basically had to wipe the slate clean. I also want people to remember those four, what I call crisis cops, mm-hmm. the crying, you know, politicized police officers who said, oh, January 6th, it was like 9/11 and this and that. They're an embarrassment to this profession. And it's time to move forward.
Amen. Do you see recruitment, I imagine, going up for local, like here in Philadelphia, we're still way down, as you well know, across the country, down in recruitment of our local police officers.
Recruitment is still down around the country, but we have reason to have optimism. Your son is part of that reason. And because that generation is, you know, the kids that are now in high school, and especially the young men who are starting to really embrace America First, they're starting to say, you know what, I want to serve, whether it's in the military or in law enforcement or the fire service. And this record military recruitment that we're seeing now, thanks in large part to Pete Hegseth, those kids very often are going to serve for 3, 4, 5 years, and a lot of them get out and become cops. So I think there's a lot of reason for optimism.
Everybody's got to go to nationalpolice.org, and you'll see Sergeant Betsy. Well, they have you as Smith up here on one of the Fox News, but it's Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith. But you look fabulous in your red. And, you know, everybody can read all. I mean, you're all over. You're on Fox. You're everywhere on national media. We always appreciate your time. Love your insights. Thank you so much, Betsy.
Thanks, Don. Great to talk to you.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.